Dakota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
I have a surprise.
Surprise?
I have a surprise.
I like surprises.
I really missed our listeners.
What do you mean? How do you miss them?
You know, look, there's times where I'm like, I don't feel like taping. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like putting our show together. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes I'm just exhausted. Or like the week has been heavy and busy and like it's hard to pull this off.
Okay.
This week, I just missed our podcast.
Aw, yeah. That's so sweet.
I'm like, I can't wait to talk to them again.
Yeah, I don't know that I have ever known you to
never
feel heavy about single. The podcast. Though.
What do you mean? Like
it never feels like it's a grind or like, oh, we got to take the podcast.
No, it's not that like I don't enjoy doing the podcast. It's like I'm exhausted. We don't have the time. Like, where are we going to find the time to make sure this happens this week?
Finding the time is definitely
difficult. So that's all I mean. And sometimes I just don't want to find the time. Like, there's so many other things going on. And I just don't want to.
Sometimes I don't care about y'all listeners. And other times, I really do.
Our listeners understand that, like, again, our real job, right? The things that we talk about, but this is our real job that we do every single day. We're not radio personalities. You know, we're not.
What's our job again? I forgot.
We are in wealth management and we are entrepreneurs. And putting this podcast together is our, I think we feel like it's our duty to make sure the information goes out to the masses for free from people they can trust and that really do this for a living. But that also means that we have jobs and sometimes those jobs get overwhelming on our schedule and the time just isn't there. Yeah. And so in the very few times where I'm like, oh my God, it's just because I'm tired overall and we don't have time.
Yeah.
I always love doing the podcast. But again, this week in particular, I was just like, damn, I can't wait to get back to the podcast.
Oh, I want to get on that mic.
There you go.
But big shout out to our producer, Willis, who deals with all of our shenanigans. We be like,
we do Willis
our
so
show,
wrong.
Our show drops on Sundays, right? Sunday morning, mind you. 8 a.m., I think, is when our show drops. Sometimes, y'all, we don't even give Willis the show till Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he has to edit.
Here's the thing, though.
We make a lot of mistakes.
We don't make that many mistakes, first of all. And
we have
do
to cut
want
off Tiffany's.
Make- That's a lie.
Tangents,
wherever you're
half the
going,
time.
My tangents, we give all of my tangents. But it's also trying to give as much up-to-date information as possible. Like I will tell you, back in our old days when we used to do SiriusXM, a show, we would tape a show 3 weeks before.
2 weeks?
2-3 weeks before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like by the time the listeners heard it, it was dated. The information wasn't the same anymore. That is not the case with this podcast.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, we were talking about the U.S. takeover a year later. No, I'm just joking. Yeah.
But yeah, so things, again, I'm glad to be back. And
I'm glad to have you back, Tiffany.
You know, even though I didn't go anywhere from you.
Yeah.
We still work together every day.
Yeah,
just so
saying,
you guys know, like, we don't come together for this podcast. Like, Alan and I are pretty attached at the hip in from a professional perspective. And so I think that's why we get along so well.
Tiffany's my business partner.
Word.
This is a fact.
Word. Okay. So we are into June. Are you not excited? How are y'all not excited? Are you not excited?
Who said I'm not excited?
I don't see the excitement on your face. Oh, I'm excited.
You may be seeing a little bit of fatigue. I can't lie.
There you go.
Brother's a little tired.
I feel you.
But I'm excited about summer. Summer is definitely my favorite season.
Man,
yeah,
I'm excited about summer. I'm excited about all our activities.
The sun's gonna bring me. Sun's gonna bring me back to my normal complexion too. I appreciate that. Big shout to that.
If you're new to the podcast, Alan has color issues.
Whatever,
he has colorism issues with himself.
I do not
by himself.
No,
and he does not choose to acknowledge his God-given skin color.
Whatever.
And he likes to appropriate other skin colors that are not.
That's not true.
That have not been given to him.
I'm black and I'm proud, first of all.
Yes, you are.
All right, then.
So in all shades and hues. Okay.
Okay, including mine.
Including yours, which is lighter, which is great. Mm. It's great just the way that it is. But Alan has issues. Okay. Alan has issues.
Closer to your birthday. I know this is like a whole movie, the birthday.
I don't even know. You all really think I'm hyping it up? But the issue is that I'm not. I'm not even hyping it up. Because then when it's over, y'all going to be like, yo, you really went over the top. And I'm like, I tried to tell y'all.
Can you go live from the party?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, let's go live.
No, not even slightly. Somebody's like, are you going to have a photographer at your party? I'm like, absolutely not. I am grown.
I don't know if I told you, but I ordered a drone service to come take photos and video.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. This will not, you know, last week Alan revealed that he took an impromptu photo of me and posted it on our Twitter page.
And it was nice.
It was nice, but that will not be happening for any of my birthday festivities. All photos shared will be cleared by me.
Not by management.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, closer to the birthday, closer to my first vacation of the year.
Okay.
I'm excited about that. You have a vacation coming up too.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely have a vacation coming up.
Good for you.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see my friends. I have one last thing to say, and then yes, we can start the show.
Okay, thank you.
As you can see, I'm excited. I've missed the podcast. That's all.
All
right. I know we did this literally just 1 week ago. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So I've been having a lot of withdrawal. I haven't seen my best friend in almost 2 months.
Mm.
That is like extreme for us. It feels like cruel and unusual punishment.
You and me will never part.
And it's been a lot. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you'll see her soon.
I will see her soon. We are doing our first vacation together. And then after that, like we're together probably like every week all through summer.
Bong.
So we will make up for it. But right now, for all of y'all who like have a really good homegirl or a really good homeboy. Like, I guess men don't miss each other, so I'm gonna leave y'all out. But for girls who, like, you just miss your homegirl, I feel you. And mine is only literally 2.5 hours away, but we've both been so busy, we haven't had the time to see each other.
Aw. You know? Soon come.
Soon come.
Yeah.
All right, that's not what we're talking about. Did you guys catch last week's podcast episode?
They did.
They did?
Some.
You
some
needed did. To.
Go back. This is a two-parter.
This is a two-parter. So last week we talked about going from good income to good wealth.
Very different things.
Two very different things. And we get a lot of people, a lot of listeners who are like, listen, I just got a promotion, or I just made a career switch, or I'm an entrepreneur. I've been a long-term entrepreneur, but I'm finally making really good money. I'm bringing home a really solid check. I'm really proud of the income that I'm bringing in, but there's still no wealth. Yeah. There's still no wealth in the bank, in the investment portfolio, in the real estate portfolio, all the things. The wealth hasn't happened yet. And you're like, how do I get to that point? And we've been talking about how to get to that point. So we started last week and there was so much information left over that we didn't get to.
Yeah.
We had to come back.
That's right. Because we don't.
It's the remix.
Because we don't want folks being Henrys out here.
I'm sorry. Who's Henry?
High earner, not rich yet.
Did you make that up?
No.
Because that's horrible.
We don't want
that's
y'all to be Henrys.
That's not even Henry. That's a Henry. That's Henry.
High earners.
Henry.
Henry.
Henry. Okay, Henry.
Yeah, we don't want you to be a Henry.
So
don't
my
be a Henry.
College boyfriend.
Was named Henry?
You know, no. His father-in-law, his stepfather was named Henry. And he acted like a Henry. I'm going to just leave it at that.
High earner, not rich yet?
Like, Mm-mm.
Was he just, like a Hank Henry?
However y'all think of Henry before Alan came up with this acronym. Like, if you,
I didn't come up with this.
If someone's like, oh, I want to, if one of your friends is like, I got a guy for you. I want to introduce you to my friend, Henry. You're like, you know what? Never mind. I'm all right. Being single is nothing, you know, I'm having a good time with my friends. Henry, just whatever y'all think of a Henry, he was that.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
I'll take that as a huge compliment to him.
It definitely not.
Big shout to Henry.
But sure, high income, not rich yet.
High earner, that's the
sure.
E.
I liked Henry. Like
high income, not
high
rich
income,
yet?
High income, not rich yet.
Okay, Henry.
Henry.
So we don't want you to be that dude.
We don't want you to be Henry.
We want you to be high income, but we want you to be rich and wealthy.
Rich yet. High income rich.
About her. To be rich. What would you call
her?
It?
High income rich.
About to be rich. just her?
High income rich. Her. We want you to go from Henry to her.
Yeah. That's good.
There we go.
I like that. We got to patent that one or trademark it. So the backstory that set up the show, we did a call with a listener who just literally tripled or quadrupled her family income in a year or 18 months. And we went through their income. We went through their assets. And there really wasn't a lot there. And it dawned on us that for a lot of folks, they're in this like new world that they never, I think they dreamed of being in, but they've never been in and don't really know what things they need to do financially to make adjustments. And we talked about a lot. We're going to do a quick recap and then we'll keep going with the new content after that. So first we talked about what is wealth. And I think we landed on this definition that wealth is the idea that your money is working for you to bring you more money. That to be wealthy means that your money is actually out there working every day and bringing you more money that you don't have to work for yourself. So we talked about some of the steps. We talked a lot about mindset shift. One of the mindset shifts we talked about was instead of thinking of what you're going to buy, thinking of what you're going to invest in and how much you're going to be able to save as you make more money. Another, be comfortable having a lot of cash and investment just sitting in the account untouched. Be good with that. We talked about hiring an advisor or just talking about money and seeking out help. That's something that a lot of us, it's like taboo to talk about money. We talked about paying your taxes. This is a big thing. More money, more problems. Problems with the tax man. Uncle Sam wants his paper. Make sure you don't cut him out. Having some write-offs. We went through what some of those write-offs should be for the high income earner. We then talk about debt and really this idea of investing. And I think that's probably if there were one singular message from last week, it's this idea that we've got to be investing constantly.
Surprise, like, surprise.
Literally every paycheck.
Do y'all feel like we're like a one-trick pony? I feel like every podcast episode, we come back to you need to invest.
Yeah.
Like it could be, the show could be about anything. Like we did a show about gun reform.
And then we were talking about investing.
And then we were talking about investing.
You see what I'm saying? That's a problem.
Is it a problem?
I mean, we got a one-track mind.
It's not that we have a one-track mind. Like when we're talking about, the conversation is always rooted in building wealth and building legacy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you just can't get away from investing in order to do that.
Speaking of which, did another phone call this week. This was with one of my homeboys that I used to work with at Goldman.
Okay.
And my man has been making good money for a minute
now. What's good money? We need numbers.
Like good money.
Put
like
something on it.
Like a couple hundred thousand a year.
Okay, like 300,000?
It doesn't matter.
Because couple is two.
Between
few is three.
Between 2 and 400,000 a year.
Okay.
He's not at Goldman anymore.
We're going to do 300,000 a year.
Okay. He's an attorney.
Okay.
And I always looked at this cat as successful.
Kids? Does he have kids?
No kids.
Married?
Not married.
Is he on social media?
Oh my gosh. Not where we're going.
Not for me, but for our listeners. We're just asking.
Yeah. And by the way, sometimes we obscure the details a little bit to hide the
innocent. I know who you're actually talking about, but okay. I'm just saying.
All right.
So, for our listeners.
Oh my gosh.
For a friend.
He was like, yo, I need to talk money because I do want to retire and let's talk through it.
Okay? How old is he? Age range? Because I'm only
51.
Asking. 51.
51.
So looking to retire in the next 10 to 15 years.
Sooner was his hope.
Okay.
And then we started going through his situation. My man doesn't have a match at his job. So guess what he doesn't do at all?
He doesn't contribute?
At all.
At all.
401k.
That's ridiculous.
$0 in retirement
accounts.
One
thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. I think you guys have heard us say that a million times. That's literally like saying, hey, I'm hungry, but if I don't have anybody to eat dinner with me, I ain't going to eat.
Yeah.
Like one thing, you still have to eat. Like whether someone's with you or not, whether you have company or a companion during your meal doesn't change the fact that you need nutrients and food to survive.
Yeah. And that's kind of logical that it makes no sense. Like it's almost like I got to come up with an even more ridiculous one. So I bought a new car, but because it's your birthday, I'm going to crash it.
I'm like, sorry.
Exactly. Like that's how ridiculous it sounds for someone to say that I'm not contributing at all because there's no match.
But here's the other thing, right? This is the other side of the coin. Potentially, people are probably saying to themselves, well, since I don't get a match, there's no benefit for me.
Not true.
We know this, but this is probably what people are thinking. There's no benefit for me to contribute to that account. I'm going to just do my saving on my own, not realizing all of the ways that you're not benefiting from being invested, compound interest, a variety of other things. And then also the tax benefits, the protections from bankruptcy. There's a lot of other things that come into play. But if it wasn't for this podcast, you wouldn't know about them.
So let me talk about Henry. So what did Henry decide to do? I'm literally going to call him Henry.
Okay. For a minute.
Henry. So my man was great at saving, though.
Okay, Henry.
Okay. He had like $400,000 saved.
Okay, Henry.
But it was literally all in a savings account in cash.
Depreciating in value because of inflation.
Lord. My man's been saving consistently.
So in 10 years.
With zero growth.
That $400,000 might feel like $250,000. With the rate inflation is going at this moment,
facts,
it might feel like $200,000.
Yeah, and we've talked so much about compound interest, and I don't know how. Now, my man's a lawyer. He worked in financial services, but clearly missed the whole point.
No, but I'm going to tell you what happened, right? Because it's not that he missed the whole point. It's that he hasn't talked to anybody about money.
That's a fact.
Regardless of this a financial advisor, just friends. Like, right? If he worked at Goldman, he was surrounded by people who could just have friendly, casual conversation with him about what he should be doing and why and helping him understand. But because a lot of us are rooted in secrecy when it comes to the money that we make and the decisions that we make around money, just having a regular conversation with your peers.
Yeah.
To see what we're all doing that works.
Yeah. Because some of us are we're hiding stuff so much.
Word.
And we're so close to the vest and we're so afraid to talk about money.
But
we're messing up bad.
I have said before, I was this person. I was 100% this person to a very serious degree, to the point when I was getting married, like I had accepted the proposal. My fiance was like, we need to talk about money. And I was like, you need to mind your business, bro. Like, that has nothing to do with you. My money has nothing to do with you.
Those were fighting words back in the
day. And it was because that's how I was raised. My father, who only has women, children, taught us, keep these, you know, y'all listeners who know who I am, keep these Negroes out of your bank account. And you don't ever need to talk to anybody about your money. That's your money. And it took me a while to get released from that and understand how that it could be a detriment to me, especially to my relationship, but just like in general. And so a lot of us, we were just raised a particular way.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is he talked about, I said, you know, so what is your plan? He's like, I want to retire in a couple of years. And I was like, so how, you know, you're not like, I'm trying to explain to him, like, you're not gonna be able to do it with just saving money and not putting any money at risk for investment. And he's like, well, I'm going to have a windfall one day.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, good.
That's the other thing.
So I'm like, so where's the windfall coming from?
I don't know yet.
I believe in God.
Yes.
And I know it's going to come.
Amen.
Now, I believe in God, too.
The windfall might have came in the form of income. Like, God may have provided you the resource in the form of consistent income.
And what did you do?
You were supposed to create the windfall.
Yeah. You remember?
He brought you the wind. Yeah. You did not make it fall.
You remember the parable of the talents, right? The person that got a lot needed to do something with it.
Yeah.
The person that had a little did a lot with it, right? And so my man is like literally waiting on God to come through with the major win. And the other thing, he's got his family owns real estate.
Okay,
and like he wants to own real estate one day. He doesn't now. But he's expecting to inherit some real estate. So I'm like, oh, how old are your parents? Oh, yeah, they're young. You know, my dad's 70. I'm like, yeah, my man could live another 30 years before you get this windfall.
Yeah.
Like, you need to make some preparations yourself, Henry. And so that's what we're talking about. We're keeping that conversation going.
Yeah. This is going to be the last time we talk about it, though. There will not be a part three. If y'all don't get it, it's going to be gone.
We're working on it. Part three.
There will never be a part three.
2023.
Absolutely not.
We'll bring it back.
If you don't get it, it's gone. And you just don't want to get it.
Yeah. So we've talked about a bunch of things. Let's jump into life insurance for a little bit. Because we've talked about life insurance a ton, but we haven't really gone into whole life insurance at all. Like, we've talked about term as a way of protecting your income. Whole life is something that, again, for the high income earner who is really looking for kind of a multi-pronged approach to building wealth, this is where whole life could be appropriate. And Tiffany's looking at me crazy.
No, I'm not looking at you crazy, because I know where you're going with this. We typically do not recommend whole life to people because it's not suitable for most
people.
That's
a fact.
right? We are talking about Henrys, right? Like high income earners. Mm-hmm. So this is for a very particular type of person for a very specific reason. This is not the entire strategy, right? Like as Alan said, this is a multi-pronged strategy. If you are just putting money in a whole life policy and not doing any of the other things that we talked about, we don't recommend that for you. If you are not a serious high income earner, we are not talking about this yeah. for you.
And also, if you don't have enough insurance, this is not for you.
Word.
Right? Term is really there to be really inexpensive and to cover a whole lot of ground. Like, term is perfect for the person that makes $100,000 a year, has a young kid, and needs to make sure they've got $2 million in coverage. Because if they die over the next 20 years, their income's gone.
And while you have that term policy, that inexpensive term policy, you are putting additional monies away to accumulate wealth for that beneficiary as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So term is not for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. It is there to cover you while you build true assets of your own.
That's a fact.
Whole life is different.
Yeah.
Right? Whole life is not necessarily to cover you in the immediate sense.
Yeah.
It is a longer term play.
That's a fact. So let's walk through an example of a whole life policy. I think it'll make sense if we really go through some numbers. And the thing about whole life, again, this is for the person that's not trying to replace their income. This is really more of a wealth play, right? So the thing about whole life is that it's a mixture of an investment account with life insurance, right? So there's this cash value component that you can borrow against. And that's one of the benefits that people talk about with whole life. But the issue is people are often sold whole life when they don't have enough insurance, period, right? So imagine the scenario of a 50-year-old man, his kids are grown, and he's really in that wealth-building phase. My man's able to save $3,000 a month, right? And we could just put the whole $3,000 a month into a brokerage account and let it grow. But we also think about allocation, asset allocation, right? So out of $3,000, you know, maybe two-thirds of it goes into stocks. Maybe one-third of it goes into bonds or safe investments. So you got $2,000 going into the stock market. You with me, T? Got $1,000 going into the bond market. So what if we just focused on that $1,000 portion that's already going into safe investments? And why don't we see if whole life can actually add some value? So here's the scenario. So if you bought a whole life policy that cost $1,000 a month, you could afford a death benefit of about $500,000, which, again, that's expensive to pay $1,000 for $500,000 of life insurance.
Yeah, because, for example, I have term insurance where I have a $1 million term policy and I pay $80 a month.
Yeah. So in that example, Tiffany's paying $80 a month for $1 million in coverage using term. Whole life's going to hit for, really, it's $2,000 a month to cover $1 million, right? I had to double it to get to $1 million. So imagine, again, we bought this policy, we're paying $1,000 a month. If you die, your family gets $500,000. So there's a huge rate of return if you die early with a whole life policy or a term policy for that matter. But the flip side is that the whole life has this cash that's going to grow. And if we looked at the rate of return on that cash over a long period of time, like 50 or 60 years, it ends up being like a 3 or 4% rate of return. But you got that optionality of if I die early, there's an even greater rate of return for my beneficiaries.
So just hearing things that Alan said, he said over 50, 60 years, he said yeah. 3 to 4% return.
Yeah.
Right? Like these That's might it. Not sound like super attractive things. That's why we're saying like this is an alternate vehicle or just another vehicle layer on top of all the other things that we are talking about. Because a 3 to 4% return is really not
great.
What you want. Especially not at such a high price point and over such a long period of time. So it is just another bucket mm-hmm. to have in addition to all of the other buckets that are working on your behalf and doing a variety of different things.
Absolutely. But the economics are not great for you in the beginning. They're great for your beneficiary. But like if you had paid this premium every month for 10 years, you would have put in $120,000. Your cash value is only $100,000. So meaning like you've paid in for 10 whole years, but it's worth less than what you put in. Like that's where we talk about whole life being very expensive. Because if you had put money into an investment account for 10 years, it'd be worth a lot more than what you put in.
Okay. So this is one of the things. We've got a lot more things that we need to talk about, though. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Bloomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we're back.
Yes.
All right. We're talking about going from Henry to her.
Yeah.
Right. So high income, not rich yet.
Yep.
To high income, rich.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like who? High income, wealthy.
Yeah. No. No.
Who? Like,
no.
Who?
No. High income, rich. Period.
All right. Hurrah.
Herp. High income, rich. Period. Herp.
That's not like herpes, though.
No. I mean, either way.
All right, what about hurrah? Hurrah. No. High income, rich, and wealthy.
No.
Hurrah.
That sounds very redneckish. We are where we're at. Let's go on to the next thing.
Yeah. Real quick, though, since you mentioned rednecks for a minute. So I gave a talk this week
to a
group of financial advisors.
Okay.
I won't call them rednecks, but
sounds like you.
I'm the only black person in the room.
Felt like shade.
No, I'm not going to call them rednecks, but I'm the only black person in the room. And at the end, multiple nice, well-intentioned, I'm sure, white folks came up to me and said, wow, you were so articulate.
So well-spoken.
You just spoke so well. And I appreciate the compliment, but I also find it, like, really strange. I'm just going to say strange.
At the shock. Like, the shock of you being well-spoken.
All I want to say is this. Like, how often do you walk up to a white person and say that you speak so well?
We need to do that.
You're so.
We need to start that. That needs to be the.
You're so articulate.
We need to make that a new challenge. You do TikTok, right? We need to make this a challenge. I don't do TikTok, so I don't know how this works. But I know we have, like, social media challenges. We need to just start walking up to white people and saying, you speak so well. You're so well-spoken.
They will
and
they find just walk that off. So, they'll find it so strange.
Just walk off. Like, what the? Just walk off.
Yeah.
Don't give any context.
Yeah. Because that's what happens. And it's like, I appreciate that you're trying to tell me that you were feeling what I had to say, maybe, or how I said it. But, like, did you expect me to sound like a baboon up there? Like, what? Why is it that this is such a common compliment for black people? I don't understand.
So I don't either.
I took it as a positive, but at the same time, afterwards, it kind of just weighed on my soul a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think about Obama. That's all you ever heard. He's so articulate. He speaks so well. And I don't know. We need some other compliments. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So we've talked about whole life insurance. You've never heard us really go on and on about whole life.
But and we won't.
For a few really specific scenarios, it makes sense. Other insurance things we see people doing now that they're starting to build some wealth is to think about some trust strategies that use insurance. And one of the easiest ones is an ILIT, an irrevocable life insurance trust. Not an ILID, Tiffany. An eyelid.
I know what eyelid is, and I know what eyelids are.
If you listen to our show about trust fund babies, we walked all the way through eyelids. But basically, it's buying a life insurance policy, putting it in a trust, and funding it with a permanent policy. Typically, you use universal life as a way of making sure that your kids have some money at the end of the day. Even if it's not through your own savings, you can accumulate some money through a life insurance policy in a trust that's outside of your estate. That's another thing we start to see folks do that you should consider if you're trying to go from Henry to Hyrah.
Her.
All right. Other things, borrow differently.
Mm.
This is something we started to hit on last week. We talked about the margin account where you can borrow against the account. And we see a lot of folks, as you start to make more money, just borrowing differently. Like back in the day, you would use a credit card if you got into a little bit of a cash crunch. But now we're just seeing folks, again, leveraging their assets to borrow. So pledging an account as collateral would be a way of borrowing different. In certain business transactions, there are certain banks that'll give you a business loan based on the assets that you have inside the business. So again, it's not just securing unsecured loans or personal loans or credit cards. It's really taking out low interest debt where your asset has been pledged. That is something that the wealthy do for sure. Other things that we see as, again, this transition point, giving gifts of cash to your kids annually. This is an idea of getting money out of your estate because you're concerned that one day your estate will be so large that you'll have to pay an estate tax. And for a lot of folks, they won't have to worry about this, but we want folks to go to, you know, to be wealthy, right? So the estate tax today kicks in for an individual who has over $12 million and for a couple who has over $24 million. So, you know, this is, you know, champagne taste, beer money type of stuff. Maybe for everyone, this is not a concern, but if you do your projections and you see that you're going to be super wealthy, and we have a lot of clients who may not have millions and millions today, but when we map it out in the future, they are going to have millions and millions. It's a good idea to start thinking now about how to reduce your taxable estate.
So let's talk about charity.
Yeah, and we've done a whole show on charities. We won't rehash everything, but the biggest thing about being charitable as you're building wealth is that you've got to make sure that you're maximizing your tax situation.
Yeah, so a lot of these strategies we've given you kind of like on this particular episode, like the part two, has been to help you reduce your taxable income or to receive some sort of tax break, right? Like we talked about, you got to give the IRS their money. The only way to kind of like avoid giving them all the money is to have some tax strategies so that you can save some of this money for wealth.
Absolutely. So little quick ideas on charity, giving stock instead of cash. You need a brokerage account to do that. But assuming you're being charitable anyway, it's just a lot more tax efficient. Instead of writing a check, send them some stock, some highly appreciated stock that you've held for at least a year. Way better for your taxes. Other things we start to see as folks are building wealth that want to be charitable, getting a donor advised fund as a way of having a vehicle that they control, they can contribute to get the tax break today, but give the money away later.
Perfect. Now let's talk about other ways to build wealth, right? Like I feel like we've given some advice on what happens when you are building, you know, like as you've built some wealth, right? But we've got some people who are like, listen, like your homeboy, I have made all this money and I don't got much of anything in the bank and I need to build wealth at this point. And I think we've talked a lot about the financial side of things, but there are a lot of ways to build wealth that we don't want to overlook.
So on that note, you know, we've spent so much time talking about money.
Yeah.
Let's talk about non-money wealth, because I think wealth is not just having your money working for you.
Right.
It's also other ways that make you feel wealthy.
And we talked about, like on the last podcast episode, Alan and I both define what wealth looks like for us individually. And for me, it looks like the ability, having the resource to be able to do the things that I want, when I want, and how I want. As we all know, especially as we get older, a portion of that is money. There's a couple of other factors that have to come into play in order to be able to live that type of life that you want to live when you want to. So the resources are not just money. It's some other things we have to talk about as well.
Yeah. What you just described, Tiffany, is time wealth. Being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
I think so many people, as you get older, realize like, we say things like, I wish I had more time, or I wish I had that time back, whether it's with our children or people who we love that have passed away, or we just got back from vacation and I wish I was still there. I wish I had more time. And I wish I had that time back. I wish I was still there, or I just wish I had more time throughout the course of the day to do all the things that I want to do, not all the things that I have to do, all the things that I want to do. I think wealth should feel like, for a lot of people, the ability to also do the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
And that is a wealth that a lot of us don't have.
So one of my good friends, he's a little older, but he's a real dope brother. He just retired, and he retired early, way before most of his friends retired. And he said this phrase to me that really stuck. He said, I retired early with less so I can do more.
I like that.
And my man is like 60 years old. His kid just finished college. And he's living up life right now. He's doing things he literally never had the time for that he always wanted to do. And he's also way less stressed out because he was saying, like, they wanted me. He was in management at a pharma company. And he's like, when I was in management, they wanted me to do all of these things that were really just against who I was as a person. I wasn't spending time with my wife and my son. And, like, I'm out here building a deck for myself. Like, literally, he built his deck in his backyard. He never would have had time to do that. And he's gotten so much joy out of it. So sometimes being wealthy, again, is retiring early with less so you can do more with your time.
And retiring early with less also requires you to live on less, right? So, like, that could mean a variety of different things. It could mean working really hard to pay off your house faster so that you don't have a mortgage expense.
His house is paid off.
Later in life, right? So all of your expenses are considerably lower because you don't have, your house is paid off. That could mean downsizing, right? Like, so when it's time for you to retire and your kids have moved on, you're like, listen, I'm going to get a smaller home, have a lower mortgage payment, if any. It could mean just reducing your expenses altogether for whatever reason.
Facts.
Right? So there's a number of ways to make retiring with less work for you. But if the ultimate goal is the wealth of time, your freedom of your own time, that might be cool for you.
Absolutely.
Right? Especially for a lot of our people, maybe like your homeboy Henry, who are, listen, like are closer to retirement than they want to be, right? Like, maybe they haven't prepared fully and they're very close to retirement. And so it's like, listen, I'm at the point where I'm not going to be able to build up this millions of dollars in my portfolio, right? And so I got to do some things differently because I'm not willing to sacrifice on the time that I want to get back.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, some people that will have some time wealth are folks who've either invested well, where they're bringing an income that gives them that freedom and that luxury to not work so hard. Others are folks who earned a pension. Not many of us have pensions anymore, but folks who've had pensions. Also, the person who can live off of, like you said, less, whether it's Social Security plus a little bit of distributions from their retirement account. You know, again, these are all ways of having wealth that, again, really, really matter.
And another way to get this wealth that may be a little bit alternative is retiring on your own terms a little bit differently. So, like, listen, I haven't accumulated enough financial wealth for me to not work. And I'm not really even interested in not working. I'm just interested in working when I feel like it and charging what I want, right? And so for people who have skills, and I feel like every single listener we have has some sort of skill that people will pay for, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, a baker, whatever the case is, and you're like, listen, I'm willing to work 1 or 2 days a week.
Candlestick maker.
That I don't think, you know, I think y'all might have a problem with the candlestick. I'm not buying my candles from like a, it doesn't matter. Either way, if you are like, listen, I want to work 1 or 2 days a week. That's what I'm willing to do. That's what I need to do. I need to bring in enough income on these 1 to 2 days for me to have the rest of the week to myself to do what I want to do with.
Time wealth.
Time wealth.
Another type of wealth is social wealth. Now, social wealth, again, it's about who I spend that time with, how I spend that time.
I thought you were going to say, like, I got a lot of friends. I socialize a lot.
I mean,
because that doesn't feel like wealth to me.
No.
It feels like a burden.
Oh, my gosh. Like, having the ability to really invest in your friendships, right? Like, that may not be fully possible if you're working 9 to 9 every day.
So, I started off the show by saying I haven't seen my best friend in about 2 months.
You're lacking in social wealth right now.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Look at this.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing it.
Yeah, you are doing it, but your
social wealth
is lacking a little bit right now.
Okay,
but you're still building wealth, right? I don't have a good acronym for you.
It's all right. I don't need an acronym because I'm telling y'all, in 2.5 weeks, I'm going to be socially wealthy.
LASWA.
No, low, I don't even know. I don't need whatever it is.
Low
I don't
on
want
social
it.
Wealth. Okay.
No.
Other parts of social wealth is really just being part of a community that you're contributing to. Like one of the examples would be folks who join nonprofit boards. And that becomes like, I won't say a job, but it becomes a sense of purpose for who they are in terms of how they express who who they are to the community.
I also think about people who want to spend more time with their family members, right? Mm-hmm. For a variety of reasons, whether it is you have a new grandchild or your own children that, you know, you've worked really hard for the first portion of their life and you want to spend more time with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have adult children, but they're moving away or they live somewhere far and you want to spend more time visiting them.
Yeah.
Right. Or it could be a number of different things. Or maybe you just want to build the relationships you have. You just haven't been able to nurture them enough. Yeah. But, you know, social wealth, as Alan mentioned, speaks to spending time with people, communities, groups that make you feel whole, that make you feel better, that make you feel wealthy.
Facts. Some of this social wealth doesn't cost a lot except for time. Some of it actually costs money. I'll give you a quick example of social wealth that actually costs a little bit of financial wealth. So one of our clients lives down in Florida, South Florida. They're in their 70s and 80s. Beautiful couple. And it's super important to them to be members of literally the country club in their town.
Mm.
And it means everything to them to be able to walk in there as a member. And they pay $50,000 to join this social country club. And I mean, that's an example of how you need some financial wealth to get some social capital. Like they do it to be in the mix with the people that matter to them in their community, to be a big shot, if you will.
I have a confession.
Okay.
So I am on the list. I am on the wait list for at least one country club, one kind of like social clubhouse.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One, the country club, it hasn't opened yet. It's okay. Being built.
Okay.
And so I am hoping that...
Oh, is that the Flossy Posse? I heard you talking about that.
First of all, I've been a part of the Flossy Posse, okay? And I don't have to pay no money. But no, there's one that's being built in our county, and I have been waiting for it to open.
In Jersey?
Mm-hmm. In our county.
I assumed you meant in New York City.
No. Nope. Okay. And I have been waiting for years for this thing to open, and it should be open within the next year or so. And I hope that I receive an invitation to pay my money to be a part of this club. And it is for access to the amenities, the restaurants, the venue, and the events and the relationships that come along with it. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one. It's a social club house. It's not in our state, but it's still super close. It's not New York. It's still super close to my house that has kind of like it's like a nightclub rooftop situation, but you cannot get in unless you're a member and you have to pay an annual fee. No matter what happens, you cannot get in. And so I've been on that list for a while. Mm. Hopefully some spots will open up and maybe I can get involved. But
pull some strings.
But for me, I do feel like that is a contribution to my social wealth. The second place that I was talking about that's not in our state, it's closer to where most of my friends live. And so I'm like, this would be a great place for us to come together and kick it without like either one of us having to go too far. And I think it'd be a really great time. And then the first place that's closer to my home, I do feel like it'd be a really great place to expose my friends to meet new friends, meet new people in the area. To just hang out and kick it in a dope environment.
Except you don't really want to meet any new friends.
So that's what I was
going
to say. I don't want no new friends. So that's why I try to meet new people.
Hold on.
Not meet new friends.
Yeah, but one thing.
Meet new people in the moment and then walk away as strangers. And only to say hey when we see each other in this place.
No, but this is a true fact that I've heard you say before, and I think you'd agree. One part of social wealth is like the rooms you have access to.
Word.
You've talked a lot about
that's
wanting
a very
to be
big goal of mine.
In more rooms. Like imagine the rooms you'd have access to as the owner of an NFL team, like my homegirl, Melody
out.
Hobson, who
Shout
bought
out.
A stake in a team or announced that she's buying a stake in the Denver Broncos
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, so that used to be a goal of mine. I used to want to own a NFL team that strictly came from Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
I no longer have that interest. It's a little too much going on with the NFL teams, but shout out to her. I think that is so bomb. Also, I know this week LeBron James has put it out there that he has every intention of owning an NBA team potentially in Las Vegas. Mm. Now, you know LeBron got it.
Yeah.
They just got to
He's a billionaire now.
Tell him what the price is.
Yeah.
But you know. I would go watch the LeBrons play.
Him and his son?
No.
The team's called the LeBrons.
Yeah, I would go and see them.
Do they require everyone to be balding? Never mind. I love LeBron. Take that back. Strike that from the record.
But to your point, and I think this is the bigger picture of what we're saying, a lot of these deals cannot happen with money. Yeah. It's not the money that makes these things happen.
That's a fact.
It's the social wealth. It's the who you know. It's the rooms that you're in. It's the times when your name is mentioned when you're not there. Mm-hmm. It's the people who co-sign for you. That's how a lot of these big deals happen. It never has to do with meeting the dollar amount.
Yeah, because we're not on the billion-dollar level yet. But think of the things we get access to because of who we are in terms of our social capital.
Yeah.
Like we get early access to several pre-IPO type of things.
A lot of things.
We'll just leave it at that.
Lots of
chances to buy businesses at good prices.
And chances to work with really great clients.
Fact.
A lot of great institutional clients come from nonprofits, endowments, things of that nature, come to us because of our social wealth. I will go on to say that most of our financial wealth has come from our social wealth.
Lord. So it's not what you know, it's who you
it's
know.
It's who you know. Okay, so there's more for us to talk about. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are back. We are talking about Henry DeHaar. But we're also talking about a variety of different types of wealth. Here's the thing. We need it to all work, right? Like if you just have a lot of money, I think Steve Jobs spoke to this in his final days, right? Like none of that money saved him from the cancer that he had,
yeah.
Right? He also had a lot of social wealth issues back in the day. He was not a very well-liked person. Back in the day, he was kicked out of his own company because of how he treated people.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, his social wealth was low, and no matter how smart he was, he got his ass kicked out of a company that he built with all the money that he had.
Yeah.
Right? So your financial wealth, honestly, in my opinion, can be completely capsized by your lack of social wealth, mm-hmm. by your lack of time wealth, and by your lack of health wealth.
Yeah, that last one is like really, really important.
It's a really big deal. Now, I will say, and I'm not ashamed to say this, so I'm turning 40 this year.
Wow.
You know, I get it, you know. And for me and a lot of my friends who in recent years started to take their health very seriously, we all feel better than we did in our 30s and 20s.
Really? I need to meet them.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, I personally physically feel better. I go to the doctor regularly for all my checkups and all my things, and my levels are always really good. I am blessed to say that I am physically healthy. I don't have any ailments, but like my ability to do all the things, I get great sleep. I don't have headaches. My body feels good. I don't have aches and pains. I don't have a bad back. I don't have a lot of things, and it's not because of luck. It is because of conscious decisions that I've had to make and changes that I've had to make along the way to ensure, just like you've got to put money aside to invest in order for you to receive compound interest, I've had to put things aside to invest in my health so that it can grow into feeling good in these years.
Yeah. And I will also say that they're connected in some ways. And I here's what I mean by that. Like I read a survey recently where they surveyed people about their financial anxiety. And 70% of the people who filled out this survey said that they felt physically anxious. And so meaning if your money's not right, it's going to impact your health.
For sure.
So meaning like if you also think about some of the times when you were younger, and I'm talking to the listeners, not just you. If your money was funny, you might have also been feeling that anxiety, which might have been a little bit of a block towards that full feeling of being healthy and happy.
But taking it a step further, if your money was funny or if your money is funny, you also have access to less nutritious options.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you might shop in a food desert, you know, your grocery stores. I am very judgmental when I walk into a grocery store. I immediately go to the produce section. And if there aren't a robust variety of produce options, fresh produce options.
You want to see colors like a pack of Skittles.
I want to see colors. I want to see ripe fruit.
She want to see a farm. You know what
I
mean?
Like, listen, I feel a way and I feel personally attacked, especially if it's in neighborhoods where I know the people look like me. And so when your money is funny, you are going to go to the dollar menu. You're going to go to the processed foods because the chips is always 99 cents.
And that's also, that's your time wealth. If you don't have a lot of time, you're like, oh, I got to go buy the processed food.
Right.
I got to go to McDonald's.
So having health wealth, honestly, guys, I know, you know, we work in wealth management, we're financial advisors, all those things. And so you could say, just shut up and talk about the money. Here's the thing. You won't have any time or health to spend that money. And you won't have nobody to spend it with. Like, you have to have wealth in all ways, right? Social, time, health, in order for the financial wealth to even matter.
Yeah.
If you can't get out the bed, if you're stuck in a hospital, what does it matter about your compound interest? What does it matter how much wealth you have in the bank? You know what I mean? If you don't, if you're lonely, you don't have people in your life, you don't have people around you, it doesn't matter if you got a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody coming.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have a good relationship with your kids, your family members, you know, I see a lot of folks who've, you know, sacrificed their families to build the wealth that they have. And now they're going to, the kids will get the money, but they might not, they might have rather had some time with you.
And here's the thing, I'm not knocking people who do that because I feel like a lot of people have had to do that at some point in time. Just make sure you circle back and make sure that you do realize why you've done all the things. And once you start to make that money, reinvest into the things that you haven't been able to invest in.
Yeah. So it's diet, it's exercise, it's
people, community.
It's getting some sunshine from time to time.
You know.
Saying a nice thing to someone. You know what I'm saying?
Like a
being
compliment?
Kind. Okay. No, just being kind.
I will tell you, I give out arbitrary compliments.
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw you do that recently.
Yep, I do it often. I like doing it. I like doing it a lot for women in general.
Sometimes it's a stretch, but go on.
Listen, that's not the point. I don't just be straight lying.
No, sometimes you're reaching. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes it's a little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I love to see the physical response that comes from a person hearing a compliment.
Yeah.
From someone saying something nice about them. Just go, if you go outside right now and give somebody a compliment, start with a stranger. Don't start with people you know because they're going to know you're lying. But start with a stranger and just give them any type of compliment. They have a physical reaction.
Word.
Right? Their energy changes completely. And you did that. Like you sowed into their health wealth, right? Like you sowed into their mental wealth. And it didn't cost you anything.
Word. Yeah, your words have power. Your words have equity. Your words can make a difference in somebody's life. So why not give it away? Why not say something nice to someone? I will say, if you're a woman, be careful complimenting these dudes because we take it
first.
We take it as
oh,
she wants me.
Y'all take immediately. It way too far. This is why y'all don't get compliments.
Yeah.
Y'all don't deserve compliments.
But y'all use them strategically to hit on guys.
With men?
Yeah. Y'all ruined it.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No.
You did. Y'all did.
I think we use it strategically inside of our relationships.
You know, I surveyed 1,000 men.
Yeah, first of all, you don't even know 1,000 men. And so what you're saying is like if a woman walks up to a man and gives him a compliment.
She wants to hit it.
What? This is another
compliment. Wealth.
What?
By the way.
All right, ladies, don't ever compliment another man in your life. Okay. Period. They're taking it too far. Okay. Only stick with women. We know how to receive compliments.
Maybe that's why they
women know how to receive compliments, and then we'll our return on investment is often immediate. Like, hey, girl, I like your shoes. Okay, hair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, immediately, you're going to get yours right back.
Okay, bubble gum smells nice and fresh if you can't compliment much else.
No, listen, y'all too old to be smelling like bubble gum. Okay?
Okay, nice new Crocs.
You are failing. Matter of fact, this is how we need to end this podcast episode. But we've given a lot of content around how going from good income to good wealth, going from a Henry to a her, in a lot of different ways, in all the ways. So I feel like our bases are covered.
Yeah.
And I hope you really get where we're coming from.
Yeah, we did the money, we did the social, we did the time, and we did the health.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisor. Money time.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.